On the sixth day of November 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, General History, Chapter 27, Lord Krishna's Instructions on the Process of Deity Worship, Text 1. But before we chant the verse, we'll read the chapter summary. In this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains the process of Kriya Yoga, or deity worship. Worshipping the deity form of the Supreme Lord automatically brings purity and satisfaction to the mind. Thus, it is the source of all desirable gains. If a person has no engagement in deity service, he will simply remain attracted to material sense gratification, and he will have no hope of giving up bad association. The Personality of Godhead has given instruction, among the regulations of the Sattvata scriptures, on the process of worshipping him as the bona fide deity. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Vyas, and all the other sages have recommended this process described by the Lord as most perfectly beneficial for all the occupational classes and spiritual orders of human society, including even the women and Shudras. Say that again. Including even the women and Shudras. There are three varieties of archana, or deity worship, based on either the original Vedas, the secondary tantras, or a combination of these. The deity image, the ground, the fire, the sun, the water, and the heart of the worshipper are all true locations of the deity's presence. The deity form to be worshipped may be constructed of any one of eight substances: stone, wood, metal, clay, paint, sand drawn upon the ground, the mind, or jewels. These categories are further subdivided into two: temporary and permanent. The details of the worshipping process are as follows. The devotee should bathe both physically and by chanting mantras, and then he should perform the utterance of Gayatri at the prescribed juncture of the day. He should arrange a seat facing either east or north, or else directly facing the deity, and should bathe and clean the deity. Then he should present clothing and ornaments, sprinkle water on the vessels and other paraphernalia to be used in the worship, and offer water for bathing the deity's feet, argya, that's water for drinking, water for washing his mouth, fragrant oils, incense, lamps, flowers. He should offer fragrant oils, incense, lamps, flowers, and food preparations. After this, one should worship the Lord's personal servants and bodyguards, his consort energies, and the spiritual masters by chanting their respective mula mantras. The worshippers should recite prayers from the Puranas and other sources, offer obeisances flat on the ground, beg for benediction, and place on himself the remnants of the Lord's garlands. Included in this method of deity worship are the proper installation of the transcendental deity by constructing a fine temple, and also the conducting of processions and other festivals. By worshipping Lord Sri Hari with unconditional devotion in this manner, one gains access to pure loving service to his lotus feet. But if one steals property that has been given as charity to the deity or the Brahmins, whether given by himself or by others, he will have to take his next birth as a stool-eating worm. Hare Krishna. Text 1. Sri Uddhava Huvacha. Kriya Yogam Samachakshva. Bhavadaradhanam Prabho. Yasmatvam ye yatarchanti. Sattvata Sattvatarshabha. Sri Uddhava Huvacha. Kriya Yogam Samachakshva. Bhavadaradhanam Prabho. Yasmatvam ye yatarchanti. Sattvata Sattvatarshabha. Sri Uddhava Uvacha. Kriya Yogam Samachakshva. Bhavadaradhanam Prabho. Yasmatvam ye yatarchanti. Sattvata Sattvatarshabha. Translation. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord, O Master of the devotees, Please explain to me the prescribed method of worshiping you in your deity form. What are the qualifications of those devotees who worship the deity? On what basis is such worship established? And what is the specific method of worship? Purport. In addition to performing the prescribed duties, devotees of the Lord engage in regulated worship of the Lord in his deity form in the temple. Such worship acts powerfully to cleanse the heart of both the lust to enjoy one's material body and the material family attachment that results directly from this lust. To be effective, however, the process of deity worship must be performed in the authorized way. Therefore, Uddhava now inquires from the Lord about this subject. Om jnana tamarandasya jnanandana shalakaya chukshu unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganadagunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganalalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Rade Brindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Haripaye, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavanityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasari Go Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So it's interesting that in this Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this chapter on deity worship. Now, we are told that there are basically these two paths that we're following in that Srila Prabhupada has given us, that is laid out by our acharyas. The Bhagavat Marg and the Pancharatriki Marg. The Bhagavat Marg is basically the path of hearing and chanting as the prime method of devotional service. And we can see that this really is what we're meant to do practically most of the day. But hearing and chanting should be constant from the moment you get up to the moment you take rest. And preaching, going out, spreading the message of Krishna consciousness everywhere, this is all Bhagavat Marg. But the Pancharatriki Marg, which is named after the Narada Pancharatra, which is our main book that is where we have the instructions of deity worship, it's gleaned from there, is also important. In his Sandarbhas, in Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, he has in the purport in the Madhya Lila, in the 15th chapter of the Madhya Lila, he gives the importance of deity worship in relation to, Srimad Bhagavat Marg. And there he says something very interesting. First of all, he says, this is right from this Sandarbha, he says there's no need for formal initiation. One just chant Hare Krishna, and constantly, purely, and you go back to Godhead. But then he describes, however, and this is he speaking 500 years ago almost. When we contemplate the quality of the candidates who are coming forward to be trained in devotional service, we see that they very much need deity worship. They very much need temples and ashrams and all this. And therefore, there must be this diksha. He's talking about what we call Brahminical initiation. Brahminical initiation enables you to go on the altar. It's a recognition of advancement, of purity, and sincerity. And so, no one can do deity worship without having been initiated with the Gayatri Mantra, having a second initiation, we call it. So, therefore, diksha is so important. Diksha literally means formally giving the mantra and taking vows and so forth. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's movement, when he also saw the candidates, nobody really was qualified to be a Brahmin by any stretch of the imagination. But so he has this first initiation, Harinam initiation, which is also Diksha. And we're meant to take that, and that's very important. We take the vows, you get a different name, all of the things that's involved before the deities, before the devotees, before the fire, you make vows and so forth. And then you are linked up to the parampara. It's a very important process, you see. But the idea is that for purification, just to be eligible, just to really be, you know, qualified to practice devotional service in a regulated way, these temples and ashrams are absolutely essential. And Srila Prabhupada made such an effort in doing that. He didn't just write his books and open little storefronts and chant Hare Krishna. When he had the opportunity, he established deities and ashrams and temples and so forth. And we can see why that's so important. Because how are we, living on your own, There are so many devotees now, so many people who have some level of interest in devotional service. They've read books, they may be chanting, and they get on the internet and try to get as much as they can. But if they don't have sangha, if you don't have a association in which the strict rules that have been handed down by the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada established to really reform one's character and one's behavior, it's very difficult to advance in devotional service. There's just too much. Maya is so strong. The modes of nature are very, very powerful. And even though you may be sincere, at a certain point you become weak and there's nobody around to get you up in the morning. Sometimes it boils down basically to that. And so, therefore, there's deity worship. Now, another point here is, notice how the order of these chapters, we just had the Aila Gita, right? The Aila Gita is this tremendously powerful song of renunciation. But what happened with Aila, or Pururva? He wasn't an ignorant fool, he was a great king. And yet he got bewildered by the form and the qualities of the opposite sex in the form of Urvashi. And for how many years? Hundreds of years, thousands of years, in those days, going back to the Satya Yuga. Many, many, many years, he was bewildered. And finally, he had this epiphany, if you will, and he became renounced and, renounced the whole thing. So what's the relationship? Now, the deity is a form. The deity has the beauty and the fragrance and the opulence, and we glorify. We're meant to be attracted away from sex life by the deity. The deity is Krishna's Madana Mohan. This is another aspect of this. It's the threefold aspect of the deity is mentioned at the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That and they correspond to this Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So it gets a little complicated, but let's go through it. So it's said that the deities, there's the Madana Mohan deity, the Govinda deity, and the Gopinath deity. And they were all established in Vrindavan successively by the Goswamis and their followers. So Madana Mohan means literally one who bewilders Cupid. And the meaning is that we become attracted. You become attracted just by seeing the deity. By the aspect of the deity, by hearing the glories, by tasting the prasadam, by being in the sangha, by the festivals, it attracts your mind. And by being attracted to that form, and ultimately, touching the deity, massaging the feet, there's even that tactile aspect of it. One will be attracted away from the form of the opposite sex. That's, that's really what's going on. Krishna is Madana Mohan. So that's essential. And then when one is actively engaged in service, then that's the Govinda deity. He's in charge of the Abhideya portion. Sambandha means establishing a relationship. You have to establish a relationship with the deity, with Krishna in the deity form. It's so easy. You walk in the temple, you just look, right? Immediately there's a connection there. And you become attracted. Your mind becomes attracted. Now, there's all these other things going on in your life, that's for sure. But being in that association, then you hear you hear the philosophy, you meet the devotees, and if you're fortunate, you get the inspiration to practice. And then Krishna is in the form of the Govinda deity. He's in charge of the practice. You know, he's speaking the Bhagavad Gita to you. O Govinda, I shall not fight. Right? Govinda's on the battlefield there. And then there's that whole practice. And then finally the Gopinath deity. That's the highest of prema. That's the prayojana. That's Krishna with the gopis in the tract of Radha Krishna, you know, Leela. That's a high level of bhava and prema. You know, that's also there, that down the path. So we need this deity worship. Now, how will it take place? Well, we have to do it according to the instructions of the acharyas. Narada Muni has left his Narada Pancharatra. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are many instructions for deity worship. Prabhupada said many times, for householders, especially, deity worship is absolutely essential. You know, if you find you're in the brahmacharya or sannyas ashram, and you're constantly preaching, you know, you're on the road distributing books. Well, it's you know, you're in protected then. If you're really in the fire of sankirtan, then it's less important. It's nice, you know, you can have a morning program, you have a little altar in the van or something, or even pictures. You should have some reminder of the form of Krishna. But the formal deity worship is not so important. But, you know, you come back to recharge your batteries because it's some crazy out there, the modes of nature. You need to have a base. You know, so deity worship is important. But especially for those who are householders, who are, you know, have more opportunity for distraction and sense gratification, and who are most likely involved in living, you know, working outside amongst non-devotees and doing that whole thing, then the deity worship is essential. At home, absolutely, and if possible, living near a temple, coming to the deity. So that you're seeing who's really the owner of everything, who's really opulent, who really is the object, you know, of my devotion. Otherwise, it's very difficult to maintain one's strictness and determination. So, householders, hey, most people are householders. So Krishna is showing his mercy here by giving some details on deity worship. And, you know, this is, let's see, powerfully cleanse the heart of lust and to enjoy one's material body. So Prabhupada said, you decorate the deity, you become less concerned about decorating your own body. You know? It's like you decorate the deity beautifully, and you look beautiful from within. You know? You may be wearing a torn old sari or something, or a dhoti, but you're beautiful. Your consciousness becomes beautiful. So that's the idea. Otherwise, what are people worshipping? You got to worship something. They're worshipping their own bodies, and the bodies of others. They're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on shoes. And some bag, you know? That's insane. You know? If we have the thousands of dollars, build a temple. You know, let's get some new outfits, you know? That's wonderful flowers. There's unlimited. You know, Rupa Goswami is living under a tree in Vrindavan, and he's doing it, and then he gets an opportunity. I forget the name of the king. It was the salt boat.
Mansingh.
And it was a boat full of, was it salt? Was it he? Or Sanatan?
Oh, I don't know that.
Anyways, this thing with the got stuck in the Yamuna. He's got this boat. He's a businessman. And then it was being, it was foundering. And so Sanatan helped him get that boat. Or maybe I'm mixing up with Madhvacharya.
Yeah, I think it's Madhvacharya.
Anyway, but I know there's this thing with the salt, because Sanatan didn't have any salt to put on his chapatis for Krishna. And he wanted some salt, and so a whole bowl of salt came. Anyway, the idea is that when the money came, when there was a king, you know, who was pious, they said, what is Rupa Goswami going to do with the money? You know, he doesn't even need any clothes or any house. You know, he's begging food. But, okay, the money is there, build the temple. You know, build the temple, because it's wonderful for the people in general to come, if they have a modicum of piety, come to the temple, and it's an act of mercy. You know? So that's what it's meant for. So this is an important chapter, and you know, we can learn a lot here about the attitude of the deity. But it's interesting that he says bhavadaradhanam. He says it's worshiping you in the deity form. So the deity is Krishna, It's a form of Krishna, but Uddhava is saying, we're actually worshipping you. It's not different from you. You know, he's speaking directly to Krishna. All right, any questions on this? Otherwise, we can go on. Etad vadanti munayo muho nikshe asam nirnam narado bhagavan vyasa acharyo girisa sutra. All the great sages repeatedly declare that such worship brings the greatest benefit possible in human life. This is the opinion of Narada Muni, the great Vyasadeva, and my own spiritual master, Brihaspati. O most magnanimous Lord, the instructions on the process of deity worship first emanated from your lotus mouth. Then they were spoken by the great Lord Brahma to his sons, headed by Bhrigu, and by Lord Shiva to his wife Parvati. This process is accepted by and appropriate for all the occupational and spiritual orders of society. Therefore, I consider worship of you in your deity form to be the most beneficial of all spiritual practices, even for women and shudras. Okay. Now, one thing before we go on, there's no purports here. Jiva Goswami has pointed out that every process of worship, every process of the nine processes, you know, Shavanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, all are accompanied by hearing and chanting. So as soon as you get into deity worship, anyone who's gone on the altar, you know, there's so many mantras to chant, right? There's the mula mantras, the words, like Lord Nrisingadev has a mula syllable, kshram. Krishna has one, kleem. Radha has one, shreem. You know, these have to be chanted. And there's other mantras, just waking up the deity, offering the clothes, offering the argya. There's a whole process there. When the curtains close after the Mangalarti, there's a lot going on the altar, as we know. There's all kinds of mantras being chanted and procedures being done, and they have to be done properly with the right consciousness, mantras, cleanliness, everything. So all of that is has come down to us, but hearing and chanting is always there. That's the basic process. So when he says there's no better process, it means deity worship accompanied by mantras and chanting. That's the idea. This process is accepted. Okay. Therefore, I consider worship of you and your deity form to be the most beneficial of all spiritual practices, even for women and shudras. O Lotus Eyed One, O Supreme Lord of all lords of the universe, please explain to your devoted servant this means of liberation from the bondage of work. Now, Kriya Yoga. It's called Kriya Yoga. It means you do things. You're doing things with your hands. You're doing things with your feet. You're following after the procession. You know, you're doing things with your eyes. You're looking at the deity. All the senses, the mind, intelligence, everything is engaged in deity worship. And even we who are our deity worship is seeing the deity. That's part of the deity, seeing the deity with love and affection. You know, and dancing, offering prayers. That's part of it. We're also doing deity worship just by coming to the temple. This is an activity. That's why it's called Kriya Yoga. So we're bound up. I was just reading chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. You know, how do we get free from the bondage of our previous sinful activities? This is how. You know, by acting, serving the Lord in this way, then the we're purified. You're purified of the results of your previous activities, both sinful and pious, materially pious. And what happens is that you're performing sukriti, bhakti-unmukhi sukriti, pious activities that awaken bhakti. This is what we want to do. And when we get enough of that, we start to feel the natural bliss that's there in Krishna consciousness. Okay, moving on. Krishna speaking. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Uddhava, there is no end to the innumerable Vedic prescriptions for executing deity worship. So I shall explain this topic to you briefly, one step at a time." Purport. Here the word karma kanda refers to the various Vedic methods of worship, culminating in deity worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the means of sense gratification and material renunciation are innumerable, the transcendental pastimes and qualities the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoys in his own abode, called Vaikuntha, are also innumerable. The various concepts of piety and methods of purification in the material world ultimately cannot be reconciled amongst themselves without accepting the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. Since, without appreciation of Him, there is no definitive understanding of what is actually obligatory for a human being. Even though almost all human beings are engaged in various processes of worship, the Lord will now summarize this topic, describing how one should worship Him in His deity form. So this is important understanding also, is that there are just as there are so many different ways of pursuing material life, right? I mean, it's unlimited. I think, I don't know if you ever thought of it like this, that the opportunities for sense gratification, of course, we're in a cycle, Kali Yuga than Satya Yuga, but are greater now than they were, you know, back in the old days when you hear about these great kings or pharaohs or anything in that age, you know. They may have had so much wealth, and they did, unlimited wealth, more than they could spend. But what could they spend it on? They had no computers, they didn't have, you know, the internet, the airplanes to fly everywhere, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't have so many opportunities for sense gratification, which is a good thing, ultimately. But the point is that this age is a special age. The very things that are so make sense gratification so much more, and you know what to speak of, you know, the drugs, you know, they had a little opium, you know, back in the something, but now there's all varieties of drugs. If you really want to get into it, you can be degraded, you know, in a matter of minutes. You know, you can go down very fast. So it's unlimited. But similarly, the process of worship, the process of philosophical speculation, of worshiping idols, and so that's also unlimited. Because the human mind is ever fertile, and the modes of nature, the combinations are unlimited. So we don't, you know, that we're totally confused. If we just try to figure it out on our own, there's no way we're going to come to the proper conclusion. Because after all, the bottom line is, what is it that's going to please Krishna, please God the most, so that we can quickly get his association and escape from this life and be reinstituted in our natural original position? That's the key. So we need these kind of summaries. The Bhagavad Gita is a summary. The Bhagavatam itself is a summary. Sodom, Sodom. The French thing, creme de la creme. You know, the cream of the cream? That's exactly what Sodom is. So that's what Bhagavatam is. Right? They ask Sutta, please summarize everything, because nobody can go through all the Vedas, and even if they do, they become confused. You know? So Krishna is giving us now a nice little outline, and that's been, you know, also come expanded a little bit in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know. So whatever Prabhupada has given us, this is sufficient for us because he's dear to Krishna. So he said, for these mlechas and yavadas in the Kali Yuga in the West, you know, here's the process. Because Prabhupada gave it to us, simplified it, therefore it's still pleasing to Krishna, which is the bottom line. We don't have to worry about, I'll tell you a story, because, you know, I've been around so long. But this is completely pertinent. Back in the early 90s, I think it was, maybe 92, 93, I was asked to participate with Krishna Chaitra Prabhu, who's a really great scholar, wonderful devotee, in producing what we call the Pancharatra, Pradeep, you know, a new instruction book for deity worship in ISKCON. Because we have to standardize it all over the world. You can't have speculation going on in different centers. And very important to, you know, regulate that. So this was authorized by the GBC and everything. So I did that. And, you know, Krishnadeva was very scholarly. I think he knew Sanskrit by then, and you know, we investigated Hari Bhakti Vilas and so forth. And we investigated what Prabhupada gave us, what basis he was giving it on, what was going on with Bhakti Siddhanta. And we came up with all of these rules and regulations. But it was understood that it was necessary to break it into two books. That's why there's two books. The essential that you have to do to be part of ISKCON and be part of the parampara. And then, if you have more facility, more elaborate. So there's two books. You know, here are the mantras and here are the procedures you have to do just to qualify. But then if you have facility, you have more Brahmins, basically, and more money, you know, then you can do more elaborate things. You can have more festivals, you can say more mantras, you can all this stuff. You know. So it's like that. And I'm sure, you know, there could probably be a third book of, like, you know, really, really, really complicated stuff. You know, for instance, offering the lamps in L.A. If you go up to L.A., they have many more lamps. What is it, 1927? I don't know how many they got. Have you ever seen them offer that? You know, and they've got more facility for ghee, so they got a little pool of ghee there that you can, you know, dip in, and everything is lit with ghee. Oh, we don't have to do it. We have to light with the little oils or the candles, you know. So there's always a different level. There's always another level you can go to in deity worship. And you go to Mayapur, you know, there's incredible things that they can do there. Because they have the facility. But, so Krishna is giving a summary here. And we have been given a certain procedures. And if we aspire to, we can learn those procedures and we have to keep to them. Prabhupada said the most important thing, two most important things, cleanliness and punctuality. That's the essence. When you can't go anywhere without that, you know. And that even pervades everything that we do also. So, let's see. I shall explain this topic to you briefly one step at a time. So now the word karmakanda comes in. Of course, you know, Prabhupada talks about karmakanda in a different kind. Karmakanda means a section of the Vedas also that deals with worship of the devas, worship of the demigods going to the heavenly planets. Krishna kind of condemns that, right, in the Bhagavad Gita. So these flowery words of the Vedas, you know, people become absorbed in the bhoga and aishwarya, in the material enjoyment and wealth that's offered by these pious activities, and you get deviated. You know, this is all in the modes of nature. And he tells Arjuna, right in the second chapter, try Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Mostly these, you know, the Vedas deals with a lot of this. He says it's dealing with the three modes of nature. So be transcendental to those modes, be fixed in devotion. And then for that you need to, you know, go to Vedanta Sutra, the Bhagavad Purana, the essence of the literature that deals wholly and solely with transcending. And that's what this deity worship is. It's wholly for the pleasure of the deity. You know, we're not worshiping the deity so that we can become healthy and wealthy and wise or whatever, you know. We're worshiping the deity for his pleasure. This whole temple is meant to exist for Krishna's pleasure. Oh, you know, my little poem, maybe I should write a little longer one. Dirt hurts. What does it hurt? It hurts us. It hurts our creeper. It should hurt, you know, so that when we see dirt, we said, oh, you can't let that. Would Krishna like that? This mandap here, I call it the fountain mandap. I don't know it's a little raised area where the fountain is. Somehow it's no man's land, you know. We clean the temple, and the pujaris clean the altar, but it's not part of the altar, and it's not part of the temple. So who cleans it? So I can see sometimes it gets dusty and dirty. But it happens to be exactly what Krishna's seeing first, you see? So one should feel, oh, wait a minute, this dirt can't be there on that temple, this, you know, this disorganization. You can't put your sweat, no one does it, but you can't put your sweatshirt on there, right? Because Krishna's seeing there. So we should feel, oh, let me jump up on there and clean that off. You know? That's consciousness of the deity. What to speak of the kitchen, you know? Someday the kitchen, you know, will bring it up to standard, maybe in my lifetime. When I joined, I wasn't qualified to clean the kitchen. I was just a bhakta, you know? I don't think maybe I had to be there 6 months or even initiated or something. You can imagine. What to speak of cook, you know, Brahmins. We had a wealth of Brahmins. So we could, you know. But just to clean the kitchen, you had to be initiated. What to speak of? It was very clean. You know, Prabhupada said that the kitchen is an extension of the altar. Radharani's place. Think about it. You know. That's the deity consciousness. Oh, this whole place is the deity. I'm living at the behest of the deity. Radha Giridhari, this is their place. That's what we should think. So any discussion on these points so far? Oh my goodness, I guess it's time. Time, strange time, the day of... It's only 7:30, got another hour. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we'll hear about deity worship as the days go by. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada.